Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a really remarkable blueprint for responsibility.
Mm.
Specifically, how to develop it, not just, you know, demand it from people, especially kids.
Right.
Our mission here is to analyze this comprehensive curriculum that gives us a three-level framework for thinking.
That's right. We've been immersed in these lesson notes for three levels of thinking. And it's really, it's a roadmap.
A roadmap, yeah.
It's designed to take kids from their, let's call it their default mode, toward actual life skills, real initiative.
Okay, so let's frame the goal for this deep dive. We're using this framework to solve, like, the classic everyday friction points.
Oh, yeah.
Like the universal chaos we all know as the morning routine.
The morning routine, of course.
And hopefully empower anyone, really, to ask bigger questions that get them beyond just the immediate moment.
We have to start with the definitions, the three levels, because they define where a person is focusing their energy.
Right.
And until you know where that energy is focused, you can't really shift it.
Okay, so level one, this is the starting line.
Yep.
And according to the material, it's the default state for most kids.
It is. They call it self-focused and present-oriented thinking.
Self-focused.
It's purely transactional. It's immediate. The thinking is all about what I want, what I'm doing, what I feel right now.
So give me a classic example.
Well, think about a kid playing a video game. They're totally immersed, just trying to get to the next level.
Okay.
Or you see this all the time, a kid walking through a mall, just glued to a screen.
Completely oblivious.
Completely oblivious to anything or anyone around them. That single-minded focus, that's level one.
It's a tunnel vision, all about the internal reward system of the self. So if that's level one, then level two must be where we're trying to pull people.
Exactly. This is the responsibility and future-oriented level. And it is a huge shift.
Also.
Because level two requires foresight. It means asking bigger questions that show you're thinking ahead.
About accountability.
Yes. But here's the critical insight from the source material. While this is the goal for the child, it's usually the parent who's doing all the level two thinking for them.
Oh, that makes so much sense. So if I'm saying we have to leave in 10 minutes, do you have your shoes? Where's your backpack?
Right.
I'm the one doing the level two thinking.
You're the system administrator for their life. The level two system is running, but it's running on your battery, not theirs.
And the child is just happily sitting in level one waiting for the next command.
Exactly. Now, if the child was thinking at level two, they might pause their game on their own and ask themselves,
what?
I wonder how long I've been playing this. Will I have time for my homework before dinner? that self-interruption. That's level two.
So the questions they ask themselves reveal what level they're on. Okay, yeah. So if level two is strategic planning, level three must be the big picture, the philosophical context.
It's the level of meaning. It goes beyond tasks and plans, and it connects daily life to a deeper purpose.
Okay.
Now, the curriculum, we're looking at Roots Level 3 in a spiritual context.
Mm-hmm.
For them, the question is, what is God doing in this situation?
So connecting the mundane to the meaningful.
Precisely. It encourages you to see life as more than just a series of random events. We see this in a simple example they gave, a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset about a fight with a friend, but then they pray about it, and later they get back together. They connect that event to a bigger context of hope.
That immediately makes level one sound like, well, like a trap. If you stay there, you never get to manage your own future or find any meaning.
And that's the danger the curriculum really emphasizes. It's not just for kids. It's a human problem.
Right.
It actually references a biblical warning about people becoming lovers of themselves. The tendency towards self-focus is always there.
And here's where the parental challenge comes in. We can accidentally reinforce level one.
Hmm.
We get caught thinking that good parenting just means making our kids happy.
Yes. When happiness is the main goal, we end up rewarding level one thinking. We give them what they want right now. We shield them from any friction.
But the source says that real success, real blessing, comes when kids learn to contribute.
Yes. Contribution is the antidote to the level one trap. And it's more than just chores.
How so?
It's cleaning up a mess you didn't make. It's actively looking for ways to help a sibling. Doing something because it helps the family, not because you get a reward.
That reframes the daily chaos of family life. It's not a drain. It's a training facility.
That's a perfect way to put it. The daily routine is a practice session. Making your bed every morning. That's not just tidiness. It's self-discipline.
Dealing with an annoying sibling.
Is building patience. Exactly. Giving up your agenda when a parent needs you to run an errand, that's cooperation. These are life muscles, and they're built in those boring daily tasks.
So if we see routines as opportunities, how do we actually move a kid from level one to level two? The framework says we have to stop giving instructions all the time.
That's the principle of initiative. If a child is just passively waiting for the next instruction, they are a level one thinker.
So what's the strategy?
The power of questioning.
Ah. So instead of giving orders, you ask questions to transfer the responsibility.
Yes. So let's say it's time to leave for school. Instead of listing everything, get your lunch, grab your jacket.
You would ask,
what has to be done before you're ready to walk out the door today? You force them to run the mental checklist themselves.
Or for homework, instead of go do your math, you'd ask, so what's your plan for getting your homework done?
Precisely. You're making them the executive function manager of their own time. And this brings us right to the main case study in the curriculum.
The chaotic morning routine. I think every parent listening just felt their blood pressure spike.
It's the universal pain point. And the stress comes from the parent operating at level two, we have to go, while the child is contentedly at level one, just watching a cartoon.
Right, waiting to be told what to do next.
So the source suggests a very structured three-step process to fix this permanently.
Okay, let's walk through it. Step one.
Step one is the transfer of power. The child creates the list.
The child creates it, not the parent.
The child. You have them sit down and write or draw everything they need to do from when they wake up until they leave. The parent just reviews it to make sure nothing critical is missed.
I can hear a listener thinking, my five-year-old would just have a tantrum.
And that's the level one resistance. You just respond with level two certainty. That's okay, but we can't move on to anything fun until this is done. You need this list to run your morning.
So you frame it as a tool for their success.
Exactly. Once the list is made, the ownership has shifted.
Okay, so they have their own level two checklist. What's step two?
Step two, integrate the clock with checkpoints. You attach timelines. For example, the first four items, get dressed, make bed, eat breakfast, have to be done by 7:00 a.m. That's checkpoint one.
Ah, so the clock becomes the manager, not the parent.
The clock is the objective force. The kid isn't fighting you anymore. They're managing themselves against the clock.
But they will fail. So what's step three? Consequences.
Yes, and the consequence has to be logical. The one they suggest is if you keep missing your checkpoints, you go to bed a half hour earlier that night.
Earlier bedtime? Why? That seems odd.
Because of the rationale you give them. It's not a punishment. It's a level two principle. You say, you obviously needed more time this morning, so we're going to make sure you get more sleep to have more energy tomorrow.
Wow. So it's not a power struggle. It's self-management training. I love that.
The entire system is about transferring that executive function.
So now that we've covered those practical level two skills, let's talk about this higher level of performance, which the curriculum calls the second game.
The second game is such a powerful idea. It's what separates technical skill from real wisdom.
Explain that. What's the first game?
The first game is just the task itself. Building the Lego tower, getting an A on a test, taking out the trash, the physical accomplishment.
And the second game is about how you do it relationally.
Precisely. It's how you do the task and how you treat other people while you're doing it. Are you encouraging?
Right.
Grateful. Patient.
So the idea is that people who focus on the second game always win, no matter what happens in the first game.
Because that's where character is demonstrated.
There's that great little example in the curriculum with the spoons.
Yes. It's a simple physical challenge. You use one teaspoon as a lever to launch another teaspoon into a glass.
That's the first game, getting the spoon in the glass.
Right. It's fun. It's engaging. But the real competition, the second game, is tracking supportive behavior.
So you're counting the encouraging comments.
Exactly. Great try. You're getting closer. The person who gets the longest list of supportive comments is the real winner. It teaches that success is relational, not just technical.
That's brilliant. It completely reframes competition into collaboration. And the source material connects this back to a biblical teaching.
It does. It connects it to Jesus teaching James and John. They were playing the first game, asking for the best seats in the kingdom, focusing on status.
And Jesus flips into the second game.
Immediately, he says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The focus shifts from getting status to building others up.
Now, we focused a lot on kids, but we need to bring this back to the parents. We can get stuck in our own level one traps.
Oh, without a doubt. The parents' level one trap is focusing only on the immediate crisis. The messy room, the missing homework. You're just reacting to the symptom.
You're not thinking about the long-term character development.
So parents have to pull back to level two and three. Level two for a parent is the strategic view. What's the root of this behavior? Where is my child headed?
And level three brings in the ultimate purpose.
What's the bigger lesson here? How can I use this problem, this selfishness, to bring about real change in their character?
So daily friction becomes a tool for, well, for profound internal work.
There's a beautiful illustration of this with a 15-year-old boy. He was really struggling with being kind to his younger brother.
Okay.
So his parents moved him past his level one anger by challenging him to engage with the level three context. They had him read a specific passage from Philippians.
Which one was that?
Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. It's about valuing others above yourself, looking to their interests. And when he shifted his focus from level 1, I want my toy, to level 3. What does God want me to do here? He had this epiphany. He realized he needed to practice kindness by intentionally sharing his toy. That's the whole system working.
And to wrap all this up, the sources have this final anchoring thought for the parent's own mindset.
Yes, the necessity of cultivating what they call a supernatural joy, even when things are chaotic.
Why is that so important?
Because you can't wait for your child to be perfect or the house to be clean to be joyful. You need that resilience now, so that when you address your child's anger or selfishness, you're not doing it from a place of your own frustration.
You're doing it from a place of deep, confident joy.
You become an outpost of hope in the middle of their struggle.
That's a profound place to land. We started with something as tactical as fixing a messy morning, and we've ended up talking about deep, meaningful purpose.
That's the power of moving from the self-focus of level one to the strategic responsibility of level two, and finally to the meaning and character of level three.
So the essential takeaway seems to be that responsibility isn't built by just reacting or giving instructions.
No, it's built by having a consistent framework, by using questions to transfer initiative, and by always, always looking past the win in the first game to the win in the second game.
Absolutely. And as we finish this deep dive, let's take that level three idea forward. The curriculum suggests asking yourself every day, how did I see purpose or meaning work today? So now that you have this three-level framework, how might your own answer to that question change? If you started asking it daily, forcing yourself to look past the immediate tasks and failures and toward that deeper process, that's something to explore this week.